for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening service of April the 4th, 1996, of the Passover Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
And turn yourself on, see if you're alive. Are you?
One, two.
Yeah, you're alive. Very, very much alive. The devil tried awful hard to kill him back during World War II, and Grandma had seen that he was going to preach in their church, and when the word came that he was missing in action, Grandma said, "No, he's not, because he's never preached and stood in our pulpit and preached, and God promised me he would, and he's alive."
Praise the Lord.
He's alive.
Amen. He's alive.
Thank the Lord forever. Blessed be God.
For the beautiful congregation tonight.
Thank the Lord. Oh, for the Lord would say to thee that you are my people. Yea, you shall not be like a foolish man that heareth the word often, but pays it and gives it no obedience. Yea, for I tell you, the last of that man will be that every house he builds, everything that he constructs will be torn down, saith the Lord. Yea, but I shall liken you unto a wise man that builds a house on the rock. And it gets tried from every angle and in all circumstances, but that house stands because it is built of the Lord. And you, my people, are the house of the Lord. I am building you into a house that I may dwell in, saith the Lord. Yea, for it is the desire of my heart that I might dwell among my people, that I might dwell in them, and they might dwell in me. And the final analysis of this hope is that we will be one. You will be one with me, saith the Lord. Yea, for I have ordained thee to great things, saith the Lord. I admonish thee to reach forth and stretch out and go for the mark of the high calling in God. Yea, for I have set before thee a lofty calling, saith the Lord. Yea, and you will say, I cannot attain. And of the truth, you cannot attain, but I can attain for you and through you and in you, saith the Lord. Yea, you can do all things through me, saith the Lord. But without me, you can do nothing. Yea, for I am the source of all your doings. I am the source of all your good works, saith the Lord. Yea, I have sought thee out, yea, and nurtured thee. Yea, and I have brought thee into my house, saith the Lord. Yea, and I have purposed from eternity to eternity, I have purpose to bless you and to make you a blessing, saith the Lord. Yea, if thou shalt pay heed to the word of the Lord, shall listen intently. Yea, if thou hearest the word of the Lord in this meeting for these few days, you shall be changed. You will never be the same again, and the change will be all for the better, saith the Lord. For I mean you no harm, saith God. I only aim toward you goodness, for I am your God, and you are my people, and I shall love thee with an everlasting love, saith the Father. Yea, for know though those that knows the Father are those whom the Son has revealed the Father to, saith the Lord. Yea, therefore seek to know me intimately, saith the Lord, with all of your heart, and I shall surely come alive in your being, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord Jesus for his wonderful goodness toward us. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Brother Glenn was telling about Brother Kyle, I believe he said, pastors of church, and Brother Coffee pastors one. I often say that I don't pastor. I just keep a good bunch of people from getting a pastor. I'm acting pastor. The incident began some time ago, and I was invited to pastor the church that I'm now filling in. I believe that's what I call it, filling in. And I didn't want a pastor. This was, and I just wanted to be kind of a gentleman preacher. You know what I mean? Preach if I wanted to, and if I didn't, well, I'd go fishing. Well, I don't like to fish because I haven't had time to fish since I've been in the ministry, which has been a long time. But I met with the church on that Sunday night, and I told them I didn't want to pastor. I just didn't know if I felt called to pastor or not. I preach and was preaching revivals and so, and had been for some time. But they insisted that I should pastor, and so I told them, well, hey, I don't want a pastor, but I tell you what I will do. I'll fill in for you until you can get a pastor. But now I caution them, I don't want you to quit looking for a pastor just because I'm filling in. You be looking for one. I don't want this to last long. Well, that was 40 years ago. Sometimes I suspect they ain't even looking for a pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's been good to me. He's been good to me and to mine. Thank the Lord. And I have thoroughly enjoyed publishing His Word by vocaling it. Hallelujah. And just being a mouthpiece for Him. I have said some of the strangest things. And I almost doubted it myself. And many times I have spoken some things that were so strange to me that I had to get the tape and hear and see if I really said that. I couldn't believe I said it. But then the Lord made it come to me by revelation. Many of the things that I teach you, I got by as direct as Paul. I don't hesitate to tell you that I got a lot of the things that I preach as direct as the Apostle Paul got his. That is, it came directly from him to me. And I said it, and I preached all over this land and all the states and abroad in many countries. And I would preach these great truths, and people would grab it. And it would become revelation to them. Unless the spirit of revelation will come to you, the things that I preach mostly, you might not get a whole lot out of them, but God will always open up the spirit of revelation to you. And I'm about to read what I consider to be the most powerful, the most informative one verse in all the Bible. Before I do, I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, just now, I pray that you would open up our spirits of revelation, O Lord. Open up our hearts that we might receive the engrafted living Word of God. That we might know the intent of God. That we might know better how to coordinate our lives with yours, Heavenly Father. Great God, tonight we pray that this word will find lodging places in hearts that are receiving revelation, and we will never be the same again, for we ask it in Jesus' name. In Ephesians now, chapter 1 and verse 10, I believe that I'll read a verse or two ahead of this, but this is the nugget in verse 10. Yeah, I'm going to begin with verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that is Jesus, of course, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now here comes the nugget, the real informative verse of Scripture. And listen to this. Follow me closely in the word, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, I repeat that to me this is the most informative verse that we'll find in the New Testament. Or in the whole Bible, for that matter. He tells us what he's going to do and when he's going to do it. That's pretty thorough, isn't it? If I tell you what I'm going to do and when I'm going to do it, I shouldn't surprise you very much. And that's what he has done here. Now let's look at this and break it down just a little bit. That in the dispensation... This is the big word. And notice that this word is singular. It is a dispensation in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now notice that the word times is the next big word. And it is plural. Say, may I be bold enough just to give you redraft this. And I'm going to read it like this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of dispensations, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. It would be easier to understand if you read it in that manner, but it's all right like it is. I understand it. That when he speaks of these times, he's speaking of dispensations. And he's saying that in the dispensation of fullness of times, He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, Mr. Coffey, those that are in Christ. Everything's not in Christ. But all that is in Christ, he's going to gather it together, both which are already in heaven, in Christed, and which are on earth, even in him. Now I must do a little bit of explanation here as we go. All right, this dispensation... He's going to do it in the dispensation of the fullness of times. That's the last dispensation that the Bible teaches. I entitled this message, Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come. Hallelujah. Because that's what's happening here. In the fullness, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. All right, now, so here he specifies one dispensation. There are seven dispensations, as you that know about dispensations may realize. And if you don't, I'll tell you about them briefly. There are seven dispensations, and he points out one dispensation and says, when that dispensation arrives, you know what I'm going to do? I said, no, Lord. He said, I'm going to gather together everything in Christ, both in heaven and in earth. Where anything that I can find in Christ, I'm going to gather it together and make it one. And I'm going to do it in that specific dispensation. Well, what somebody asked, well, what has he been doing in all the past dispensations? All right, I'll tell you about that too. But let me point us to a passage of Scripture here in the book of Acts, chapter 15. And notice here that in the 14th verse of the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, and I read, James, the pastor, is making a statement here, and he says, Simon, that is Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, God at first visited a people, the Gentiles, and he's going to take out a people right out of the Gentiles for his name. Now, he's already done that. He is in the process. It may be continuing, but he already has done this. And it continues to this present time, however. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this, after he does that, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. The reason... The purpose is, in the 17th verse, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, all the Gentiles, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And then that beautiful, rich verse of the 18th, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So he has returned to build again the tabernacle of David. That's when all worship was restored to the church. And David's tabernacle was just a tent with a top, no sides. And the ark was sitting in there in plain view to everybody. But in the tabernacle of Moses, nobody seen the ark. Nobody. Even those that carried it didn't see it. They backed up to it and cast a cover over it. And then they loaded it on their shoulders and carried it. And all those seen that looked was just a box. You could tell it was a box in there, but they only seen animal skins. But David brings the ark, puts it under a tent top, and then invites everybody to come and see the ark. Come and worship the ark. Come and worship Jesus. Hallelujah. You know the reason that we're not already in this dispensation of the fullness of times? I'll tell you. It's because the cup of the Amorites being the evil and wicked, is not full. But that's not the only reason. There's another cup that's not full. And that is the cup of the saints. The cup of righteousness. When the cup of the Amorites is filled, so will be the cup of the saints will be filled. Oh, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so will the cup of the righteous be filled. And then will come to pass as we look at the wickedness of this world and say, man, it got bad, didn't it? Every imagination of man was only evil continually. And this time it gets even worse than that. But the beauty of it is when their cup is filled, that will be the situation. But here's another cup filled over here that will say, where iniquity did abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Lest I forget to tell you, I don't hesitate to say that I expect to walk into life. Hallelujah. Somebody doubtless will say, well, hey, you've been had a health problem. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I admit that I have had, and I guess still do, have a health problem. But that doesn't deter my hope. I still hope to walk into life. And let me tell you, so there can be no mistake about what I mean about walking into life. I mean that I hope to just walk in here until Jesus comes. And then just walk right into the life of this dispensation where he's going to do all the restoring. Restore all things. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not telling you that if it's 200 years from now that I expect to still be walking here, not on your life. Hallelujah, or mine either. But I believe that we're close enough. Say I'd still have to live over 30 years. No, I'd have to live 30 years. To be as old as my dad was when he gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. And there was 10 of them in that family, and he was one of the younger ones to die. Hallelujah. The oldest one went to 105 and a half. Well, I don't say that that gives me longevity, but it's in the genes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I think that what will give us long life is to expect to live, to preach life. It must have been some kind of a shock to our system when we realized that we were in this realm called time. where everything was measured by time. You know, that's what happened to Jesus. He came out of eternity. Did he not come out of eternity? And he came and presented himself in a realm called time. And how many of you know that in the foreknowledge of God, there is a predestinated sons of God? Hallelujah. Well, if Jesus came out from eternity and we were in the mind of God when he spoke the world into existence, where thinkest thou that we come from? Say, in this realm we're vulnerable. In that realm, as long as we were just part of the foreknowledge of God, we were secure, comfortable, resting easy, no worries. Hallelujah. Amen. And then all at once in 1926, I opened up my eyes and the first realization I think I had was, hey, you're in the realm of time. This is a danger zone. Hallelujah. And so we entered into this danger zone. And all the way through, something's been nipping at our heel, hasn't it? Trying to pull us back into the ultimate of this time zone, which is the death realm. We're in the death realm. Somebody said, hey, just takes one bad apple to spoil a whole bushel. I got news for you. Don't even take one bad one. You just put a bushel of first-class apples in a basket, and don't put a bad one in there. And you know what will happen to them? Every one of them will rot. You know why? Because death worketh in them. And in this realm, death worketh in us. And unless we can get more of the Lord in us, then this realm is giving us through nature. Hallelujah. This realm will bring us to death. Hallelujah. But it brought Jesus to death. But Christ came forth out of that death. And if it brings me to death, hallelujah, the in Christed will come forth out of that death. I have no fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a time that I have feared death many times, but I don't have any fear for death now. I remember a good friend of mine is in the war with. We was in a hole one night on the railroad track was here, and our hole was here, and the enemy's hole was on the other side of the railroad track, and we could hear them talking, they could hear us talking. The weather was just too bad. We didn't want to try to do anything about it. And my friend says to me, Jack, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to have the pneumonia and everything. And when we get about 50, 55 years old, we'll go to the VA and they'll make out like they never heard of us. I said, well, I think I agree with your philosophy, but I got a more immediate worry here. I'm trying to get to 19 years old. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, let me tell you about then a dispensation. Let me give you a definition of a dispensation. All right, the definition of dispensation is a time allotted by God in which he, God, will dispense a portion of his life into humanity. Now, in which God will dispense a portion of his life into humanity. That's what a dispensation is. There are seven dispensations, and the first one is a dispensation of innocence. That's what Adam had. He was innocent, and it's a good virtue. But it's a good virtue to God only if you are innocent by reason of overcoming. Adam was innocent by reason of never having been tested. And the moment he was tested, he failed. He lost that innocence. And so God moved from that dispensation to the next dispensation. All right? In that dispensation of innocence, we said innocence is a real virtue, but the only innocence that God's interested in is we that are innocent after having been made an overcomer, having been tested. Not like Adam, the first Adam, that failed the first opportunity he got. I came up through the old school, and we talked about backsliding more than we did front sliding, you know. And consequently, everybody thought they had to backslide some. Hallelujah. Well, there is such thing as backsliding, and probably all of us do it all along, I think. If you're not to the zenith of your experience in God tonight, you're backslid. Backslid a little. But I'm not saying you're lost. Hallelujah. Say, let me tell you, in the mouth of the gun here, that you don't have to believe all of these things I'm going to tell you to be saved. Yeah, that'd give you a little consolation there. You don't have to believe all of this to be saved. But if you do believe it, if you are saved and you do believe it, it'll be a blessing to you. And it'll put you in a better position to meet God. And sister said, if you were to go to sleep and you'd were you ready to meet God? It'll put you in a better position to meet God, and it'll put you in a much better position to know what God's doing. So let me divert myself just a little bit, get ahead of myself, because I couldn't nearly get through anyhow. And in the third chapter of the book of Daniel, in verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. You remember this one? And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Well, what is the virtue of telling us this story if it has no further meaning than that? You could encourage me a lot of ways without threatening me with the furnace. He's heating it seven times hotter than it was supposed to be heated. I believe that the Lord is saying that, hey, and notice what happened when they came through this. They came through this, while they were coming through this, when they were coming through this, the Lord appeared to them, didn't he? The Lord appeared visibly to them, and when they came out of it, they were promoted. They got a promotion. Well, it's obvious what I'm going to say about this is that this is a type of going through the seven dispensations. And withering the heat of all seven dispensations, and if you can do that, the Lord's going to appear to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're going to be promoted. And that promotion will come by taking us from this dispensation, which is grace. This is dispensation of grace. And finding us over in the dispensation of the fullness of time, which is the kingdom dispensation. Now I'll have to give you all of the goody between here and there. All right. So the second dispensation then was conscience. Man couldn't make it innocently because he's going to be tested. But now that he knows about innocence, Adam didn't know he was innocent. He didn't know. If you'd ask Eve to describe Adam, she wouldn't have had any idea how to describe him. She can't say he's tall, because you're only tall in relation to something shorter. And she can't say that he's short, because you're only short in relation to the tall guy. She don't know whether he's handsome or not. And she don't know whether he's tall or short, because she hadn't had nothing to compare him with. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, but God wanted to preserve this quality of innocence. So he said, well, all right, I'll open up a dispensation of conscience. And I'll let man, now that he knows about innocence and he knows about the trouble that lurks out there, I'm just going to let him, let his conscience be his guide. His conscience will put him on the right track, perhaps. But that didn't work too well either with man. It worked all right with God, because all God intended to do anyhow, he did. He intended to dispense the character of innocence into us, into humanity. And all he's going to do with the second dispensation, he's going to impart to us the dispensation of conscience. He's going to put a conscience in us. Paul said, some have feared that. You know, he put a conscience in us, and that allows us, puts us in a position where we now, I mean, it's not optional now. We have to make choices. We come through the second dispensation having to make choices. But this dispensation soon failed, and so God instituted the third dispensation with Noah when the flood had lifted. And Noah sat down on the earth. They were the only people in the world. And so God said, this will be a dispensation of human government. Well, we've already learned that if we're going to be innocent and we've got a conscience to direct us, now we need to govern this. We need to govern this. So this human government, it didn't go good for man, but it went swell for God. Hallelujah. Amen. God dispensed into us that knowledge of government. Human government. Well, divine government's what we're looking for, but divine government will be executed by through the human. Moses, the law was God's law, wasn't it? But Moses administered it, didn't he? And that's what we will do. Now we have, let's see, we know about innocence. We want to be innocent, don't we? We know about conscience because it's worried us a lot. At times it won't let us do like we want to. And then we know about, now we're going to learn about human government. All right. Human government. All right. That's just that everything has to be governed. Did you know that God didn't create one thing and place it in this world, that he didn't create something to govern that one thing? Everything is governed, and everything must be governed. We must be governed by the Spirit of the Almighty. Hallelujah. That was three dispensations, wasn't it? The fourth dispensation is a dispensation of promise. Genesis chapter 12. God said to Abram, get up and get out of there and leave your kin folks and all your wealth and whatever, and come and I'll show you what I'm going to give you. And he said, I'll make you a great nation. I'll make you a great people. Kings will come from your loins. And Abraham got up and got out. And he began to walk with God. He had only a promise. Promise is all he had. And he became very rich just following God for that promise. And he lived in tents. He called himself a pilgrim. Hey, did you know that we now know that there were castles built before Abraham's day? You had men that knew how to build them out of stone, knew how to build splendid buildings. Well, Abraham being the richest man in the East, he could have had one if he'd wanted it. Imagine somebody asking him, hey, Abe, why don't you build your castle? Who are you anyhow? He said, I'm just a pilgrim, just passing through. Well, you living in all these tents around here and got all this wealth that you got, why don't you build your castle? He said, I don't want a castle. I'm looking for a city. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't settle for a castle that man built. I'm looking for a city that God built. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, where's the evidence? Oh, I have a promise. A promise. Hallelujah. So now we have built into us the spirit of promise. And we can go a long ways on a promise. Whether it be from God or from somebody we love, somebody we trust. We cherish those promises, don't we? That was the fourth dispensation. And the fifth dispensation is the law. The law was given by, the Bible said the law came by Moses. That is, it came by Moses. Moses gave it. God gave it to him, and he gave it to them. Now, the law was to The law was to, when we had exercised our conscience, tell us whether we'd made a good decision or not. It revealed sin to us. Sin was in the world, but the world didn't know it until the law came to convict us of sin. It has the same effect as if you drive down this road. Well, you don't have to stop coming around this curve, but if one day you drive up there and they got a bunch of lights hanging out across that road and one of them's red, you have to stop. If you don't, you'll be violated the law. But yesterday now, before they put that light up, you could whiz through there as often as you wanted to. But now that there's a law, you have to obey the law. So he gave us the law. And people, Christian people, don't like the law. They don't want you to say law. It's not near as bad as it was through the old school that they came up through. They didn't want you to say predestinate. Now they don't want you to say the law. And God has nothing that he doesn't have something to govern it. And you can't govern without a law. Hallelujah. And when the blessed Lord came, he didn't do anything but fulfill the law. He didn't do away with any of them. Hey, the day will never come that you can violate the Ten Commandments or any one of the Ten Commandments and not be guilty before God. Never will come a day like that. The law is not so bad. Hallelujah. If you know how to relate to it. All right. That was the fifth dispensation. That's the one that Jesus ministered under. Our blessed Lord was born in this dispensation and he ministered in this dispensation. And then the Bible says in John 1:17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the law was followed by grace. And that's a dispensation that we're now in, and that's a sixth dispensation. And so God dispensed a portion of grace into us during this dispensation and brings us close to the entering in of the dispensation of the kingdom of God. Say, we're in the kingdom. Ours is a perplexing life. There are two kingdoms here, right here now. There's the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. Now, we belong to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is ours. And we belong to the kingdom of God. And those that don't belong to God belongs to the kingdom of the world. Well, how many of you know that the whole world lieth in confusion tonight? Starting at the courthouse here and going through Washington yonder, wherever. It's a total state of confusion. I wonder why that is. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands from us. Let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye kings and be wise, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in thee. The heathen rages, and the kings of the earth make imaginations against God and God's anointed. Who is God's anointed? We are God's anointed. Our keeper, our preserver, and they're after us too. But there was a voice that rang out from heaven and said, it's too late. It's too late for all of those vain imaginations. I've already set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree today. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Well, he could have said it like this. Hey, it's too late. It's already over. Hallelujah. It's already over. I've already set the victor over on the north side. Hallelujah. I've already set the victor in the corner there. He is my son. I have proclaimed him king of the entire universe. He is completely victorious. Hallelujah. But the heathen rages on because he knows not the mind of God. Hallelujah. And he imagines vain thoughts and thinks that he can overturn the situation. Hallelujah. And when he takes the poll, do you ever notice you ask a politician a question and he can't answer you? He's got to hire a pollster and let him poll the nation, and then he'll tell him how to answer you. Hey, you want to ask me a question in the kingdom of God? I'll answer it right from the floor. Hallelujah. Nobody has to take a poll. I've already took it. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be God forever. It's too late. Well, so we have come. Jesus brought us into this age of grace. I feel sorry for them television preachers for more reasons than one, but this especially. They say, hey, soon now the grace of God will be gone from this earth. The grace of God will be over. Well, I hadn't been invited to no funeral for God. Hallelujah. Amen. And as long as there's a God, there is His grace. Hallelujah. Because I challenge you to separate God from grace. Our grace from God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're in the dispensation of grace. And God has showered us abundantly with this grace. Abraham, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. And when Abraham, somebody says, are we saved by works or by faith? Well, the Bible says we're saved by both of them, but that's a technicality. I don't want to get into that. Also says, I'll give you something to think about, though. It also says that we're saved by hope. Did you know the Bible distinctly says you're saved by grace, you're saved by works, you're saved by hope? Hallelujah. But I like the grace situation, because without the grace, there'd be no works. Hallelujah. And without the grace and works, there'd be no hope. But we do know that the Bible teaches us everywhere that while we're saved by grace and grace alone, that we're judged by works. But here's old Abraham following God, and he ain't got no works. He has never made a sacrifice. He's never rendered a service to God. He's never observed any religious ceremonies. So God looked and trying to find some works of Abraham, but when he couldn't find any works by Abraham, he said, oh, well, his faith is, I'll just justify him by his faith. Hallelujah. If you've got enough faith, maybe you don't need any works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But faith and works go together, don't it? Did you know that over in the... if we get through this dispensation of grace, and God has now, look at all the character He's imparted to us. Did you ever get some of these toys like they play on the television with? You know, you set the thing out here, whatever it is, and then hook it to the television, and then try to figure it out, and all of these things. You ever seen them? Well, you let somebody my age try to figure out how that thing works and what that thing does and how to operate it, how to play with it. And then let my 4-year-old grandson run through the room, and he'll grab that thing up and can't read a word. But in 2 or 3 minutes, he'll be operating it. I wonder how cometh this. Well, I'll tell you how come at this. It's because that they are born now with the knowledge already in the genes of what we have acquired. And we didn't do it all by ourselves either, because I've only been alive in this dispensation of grace, and you have too. But we came with all of those other characteristics because God had imparted them to humanity and then passed it right on down through the genes by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so that's why that one, hey, in the we used to say in the move of God, back in the latter rain, they used to accuse us. Well, they accused us of a lot of things, and but I don't complain, because I now know that we were guilty of more than they're accused of. But am I on? All right, I know that that we were guilty of those things. But they used to say about us, y'all, hey, y'all don't preach salvation. Well, hey. But I had an answer for him. I said, well, hey, we get more people saved accidentally than y'all do on purpose. So they come to our meetings and the Spirit, oh, it was a great move. But I know where it broke down at. I know just how it broke down. God made me to know. It failed through the leadership. The leadership all went bad. I mean, almost all of it went bad. Goodness gracious, it was kind of out of order if you visited two conventions, had the same wife for both of them. And the old guys, older than I am now, they were marrying 30-year-old girls, just one right after the other. And the thing just went so bad that God wouldn't honor it no more. I know he did. All right, then came the charismatic movement. And I don't know if they realized this or not, but they tried to correct it. You've been going down the road and see something on the side of the road here that you got to dodge real quick. You dodge and you overcorrect. You stayed out of this ditch, but you... But maybe you whipped it across. I've whipped it across the road 3 or 4 times for which side of which ditch. That's called overcorrecting. Now, what the charismatics did, they overcorrected. They seen that the latter rain movement fell through the negligence and rebelliousness of the leaders, so they just done away with leaders altogether. That solved that one for them. If it comes through the leaders, why not just be sensible and get rid of the leaders before we start? That's overcorrecting. They overcorrected, and then they, God bless that move. And they found a liberty in the Lord. And so they thought, boy, how about all of them old-timers? Like the old school, I came up through, still bound to things, and we'd go there and liberate them. So, here they come to liberate us. You can hardly liberate the old school that I come up through. It's not fast. And if you're going to liberate them at all, you don't want to begin with an offense. So here's what happened. All their more spiritual women bought them a pantsuit. Do know that I'm not a legislator. I couldn't care less if you wear a pantsuit. Couldn't care more. Don't matter to me. I don't really think that it matters to him. Hallelujah. Because Samuel, God said, Samuel... He looked at old Eliab, and he was like, 4 inches taller than me and 50 pounds heavier. And, he said, man, look at there. That's God's anointed. And God said, easy there, Samuel. You're looking on the outside at this guy's statue. I've looked on his heart. He won't do. I've already rejected him. Already rejected him. Well, let me tell you about Pentecost, the old line Pentecost. If you was a lady and you wore a pantsuit into one of their services, you offended every last one of them. And who knows the penalty for offending folks? Ah, that's pretty stiff penalty goes with that, isn't it? For offending folks. Well, you know what they did. They did it in good conscience. All right. They thought, we've been, them folks need liberating. And I'd be the first to agree that our old school needed a little liberating. Hallelujah. But I'd be the last one to advise you to try it on this order. So what they did, what the charismatic move did then, they found themselves in more bondage than they were in before they found their liberty. Because now they had offended a whole move of God that had been God's stalwart for 40 years, maybe longer than that, 70 years. And this had been the leading echelon for God. And God wasn't about to put his foot down on them because they were slow of learning. So actually, the Bible said the common folks heard God gladly. Well, the old line school that I came up through was they were really common folks. So you had to watch your language if you had if you preached to them, and not join too many words together. Just you know. And don't use any big words. They turn you off. Yeah. So you had to kindly gauge your lesson to them. I was teaching in a seminar in Georgia, over in Georgia, and I had a chart on the board. I had made the chart myself, and I misspelled Bryce. And I spelled it B-R-A-S-E. Well, of course, you know I knew how to spell brass, but it's just an error, stroke of pen. But had several young people, preachers, on the front pews there, and they was trying to find something to get on me, you know. So we come back after dinner, and they had discovered my error. So they's laughing about it, you know. And Brother Jackson, how you spell brass? And I didn't know I had it spelled wrong. I looked and seen what they's on that. They's having a ball, you know. And I said, well, how do you spell it? It said B-R-A-S-S. And I said, oh, that's Georgia talk. I wrote this in Texas. I don't speak English. I speak Texican. Hallelujah. Well, thank God. God's so good to us, isn't he? All right. So then we come to the fullness of the dispensations of time. At the end of this dispensation, we will, like it or not, somebody's going to be ushered into that dispensation. And that begins the reversal of everything that the devil, Satan, that old serpent, or whatever other name we might conjure up for him. It will be the reversal of all things that he has done. And we'll have all of these great characteristics built into us. He will have translated us from the power of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. And then this one. Now, here we've come through as a minority. Our kingdom has been a minority among the kingdom of the world. But there, we're going to have the long end of the stick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our health's going to be restored completely. We'll have divine health. The only sickness that there will be in this dispensation, while he's gathering all things in Christ unto him, the only sickness there will be as a penal measure. Isaiah 65 and 20 said a child shall die at 100 years old, and at 100 years old, a sinner will have to, he'll have to make his decision. He'll have to shove his conscience in gear and remember that the ideal position is innocence by overcoming. To him that overcometh will I give to be a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. In this life, we've been coexisting with a kingdom that was bigger than ours, but not as powerful. but we coexisted. But in this dispensation, there'll be no coexistence. We're going to abolish the devil and all signs of him until his reign will be remembered no more. No more. Hallelujah. And God said, when I bring humanity through all of this hate, like the three Hebrew children, I'm going to bring them into Jesus' land. And I'm going to promote them. They're going to be sons of God. Both men and women will be sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will eradicate the works of the devil, which are many at this point. If you could bundle them all up and stop them tonight, our troubles wouldn't be over. The effect, we will be after the effect of the enemy that he has had upon humanity. He has ruined many families, many lives. But he didn't ruin as many as he wanted to. He wanted to get them all, didn't he? But in the end, God is going to gather together all things that are in him. Hey, I'm not telling you that, hey, I don't believe and I don't think the Bible teaches, I don't believe that everybody will come to God. I don't believe there will ever be a time that everybody will come to God. And to give you an example, in the first book of chapter of Romans, Paul set forth to write the book of Romans to show how the grace of God overcame all things. But he didn't get to but about the 21st, 2nd, 3rd verse. And he said, he run into a group over there God couldn't do nothing with. God couldn't save them. Hallelujah. God couldn't save them. They wouldn't be saved. And I believe that there will always be a people that will never come to God. Given every opportunity, but will never come. Say, I know some. I know one man that's 93 years old, and I've known him. I know him real well. And I've known him for 55 years, I guess. And he has had every opportunity, and he has never made one move toward God. And he's stricken in age. Now, and he don't want to, you can't talk about God with him. He don't want no part of God. He don't understand God. He don't want God. And it is my opinion that he will never come to God. Never. Not in this age or the age to come. Hallelujah. I believe that all, when we get to the far end of this dispensation, I believe all that ain't hid can't hide over. And listen, when we get to the end of this dispensation, you know what's going to finally happen with us? The devil will be loose for a season. I'm in the 20th chapter of Revelation now, if you wonder. He'll be loose for a season, and he goes out and deceives many. He gets a lot of followers. Where are those followers coming from? Right out of the dispensation of the kingdom of God. The one where he's gathering together all things that are in him. But there are some in this dispensation that we have brought up to it that are not in him. And so when Satan is loose for a season, he goes and he tempts them. But we've had such a good environment for them in this dispensation that they've never been tempted of the devil. Anyway, he's been bound through this whole dispensation. He himself has. And when he appears, he will deceive many, and they will go out after him. The sons of God will arise to put him down for the last final time. Hallelujah. And then we will announce, hey, you're in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth only righteousness. And the former things shall be remembered no more. Hallelujah. And we'll bid this realm of time goodbye. Hallelujah. We weathered the storms. We couldn't have done it alone, but we had a good helpmeet with us. Hallelujah. We had a good shepherd. Amen. And he brought us through all the perils of these seven dispensations, and we have entered back into the Father. And we are in eternity. Time can't touch you. Death can't enter. Disappointment has no place there. There'll be no sadness, no sighing. Oh, the wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them, and the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, the deaf ears unstopped, the lame man shall leap his heart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a thirsty, shall become a pool of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Highways shall be there in the way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those wayfaring fools. Fools need not err therein. No lion shall be there. Nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Hallelujah. It's a new day, a new land, a new realm. A new realm that we have no memory of. Oh, I was going to take you through the seven times passing over Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't have time for all of that. Praise the Lord. But when seven times passed over him, he realized that the Most High God reigns and rules over everything. That's what we have to realize tonight. Hallelujah. If we're going to move with God and we're going to be part of this great gathering together that will wipe out the wickedness of the enemy, we're living toward that day. If I go by the way of the grave and I'm in Christed, I'll be resurrected to make this great journey through this age. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I had time to show you all that, but I don't. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Father, just now, my Lord, I invoke the choicest blessings for this people. I pray for them, O Lord. I pray that all of the words that we have given them tonight will be a stronghold to them. And it will guide them and direct them, O Lord. It'll help them. Help us all the way through life, O Lord. Every word that we've said, Lord, we seal it to the spirits and hearts of this people if it will be profitable to them in their pursuit of the kingdom. My God, we seal it to their hearts forever. If it would be just folly or of no value to anyone, we pray that they just forget it before they get out of the tabernacle. But God, for all of that you can use, for all of that that will be building us and building our character in a Christian fashion, we pray that it will abide with us forever. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Oh, thank the lovely Lord for His wonderful goodness toward us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The ministering angel is ministering in the tabernacle tonight. Hallelujah. He may minister to you. You may feel His presence because He's moving throughout all the whole tabernacle tonight. Praise the lovely Lord. Oh, it is the angel of the Lord. And He has come to bring blessings. He has come to minister to those that are heirs to the kingdom of God. He has come to bring God's love to us tonight. He is in our midst. He is among us now. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let me minister just to one or two people here. Praise the Lord in passing to you. Young lady, what is your name?
Dina.
Dina. Oh, I seen the angel of the Lord
over you, around you. And I say unto you that tonight enlargement has come. Yea, and enlargement continues to come. Yea, I have enlarged your capacity to hear the word of revelation. I have enlarged your capacity to retain that which you heard. And I shall enlarge your capacity to even to give out the things that your spirit doth hear. Yea, I tell you now, daughter of mine, that I'm moving in you and on you and through you in a super fashion. Yea, I tell you now that you will never be the same again. Don't try to, my daughter. Don't try to be the same again. Just yield to the Spirit of the Almighty as He ministers to you. For you can expect that I will wake you up in the wee hours of the night, the Lord is saying to you. And I will tell you things that you have not heard before. And you shall search out in the written word, and you shall find that the Lord is dealing with you concentratedly, saith the Lord. For you have found mercy, you have found favor with the Lord, and you are blessed above many, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The blessings of the Lord be on you, my sister. In the name of Jesus now, Lord, move in her spirit and in her body, in her heart, O Lord. My God, in Jesus' name, I invoke blessings for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is your name?
Marlene.
Marlene, I've seen the angel of the Lord here ministering to you. And I tell you now, that your mind has heard. Yea, your heart has received. Yea, and thou shalt react. And I know that you will react in a positive way, for the Lord knoweth your heart and knoweth you, saith the Lord. Yea, you know that if the Lord don't build a house, the laborers may build it, but it'll be vain. If the Lord doesn't keep the city, the watchman wakes, but it's all vanity, saith the Lord. Yea, thou hast departed, and thou shalt depart the way of vanity completely. Yea, and thou shalt open your heart and spirit, and the Spirit of the Almighty shall come into thee, and thou shalt be led by the Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Would thou desire to be exalted to this lofty calling? The Lord has a work for you. Yea, the Lord has a ministry for you. Yea, the Lord will enlarge your capacity and ability to understand the Word as it is written, and to expound it and explain it, yea, where it can be understood, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall be with thee. You shall never put forth your foot to go forward, except that I'll go with you. For the Lord, you have found favor with the Lord. Hallelujah. One day. Oh, blessed be the Lord. I've seen the angel of the Lord come and flutter over you many times. Yea, and the Lord would say that I am now, oh, blessed be God forever. The Lord desires that He will remove all heartache. Yea, and all worry, yea, and all anxiety from your heart and from your spirit, yea, and the Lord will flow through you in a purified flow of the Spirit of the Almighty. Thou shalt minister before the Lord. Thou shalt lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Yea, thou shalt speak, and so shall it be done, saith the Lord. Yea, I invoke great power in you tonight, saith the Lord. Yea, enlargement comes. Enlargement will continue. Yea, and it will continue and continue and continue. And all will know that you've had a new touch from the Almighty. Thank God forever. Oh, blessed be the Lord forever. Praise the lovely Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're mighty to be praised. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My brother, what'd you say your name was? Ken? Ken. Brother Ken. Praise the Lord. Oh, the hand of the Lord is upon you, my brother. Is this your wife? Give me your hand. Praise the Lord. Oh, the hand of the Lord is upon the both of you. Yea, the Lord hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. The Lord hath anointed thee with the oil of joy. Yea, thou enjoyest great joy in the Lord, in worshiping and in the Spirit. Yea, and even now, enlargement is coming in that area, and enlargement is coming in your teaching ministry, yea, in your ability to shell out the nuggets right out of the Word of God, to give them meaning and explanation as the Lord did when the Word became flesh and dwelled among men. Yea, it was no longer trying to understand a written letter on a scroll, but it was a man called Jesus set among them and taught them from the scrolls. And that word became flesh. They could understand it because they could reach and touch him. They could hug his neck. They could even kiss him on the cheek. Yea, he would even wash their feet. Yea, and that was the Word that had become flesh. And so the Word in you, the Word is becoming flesh. And then the flesh becomes the Word. Yea, it is quite a combination. But my friend, my brother, my sister, if you continue on in the Lord, you can have just that, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be God forever. Oh, praise the lovely Lord Jesus. Lovely, lovely, lovely Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord would say unto thee, let us arise and go over. Yea, if you will arise and attempt to go over, I promise you that you will not go under. Yea, if you arise and answer the battle call, I guarantee that you will be victors, saith the Lord. You will never go down in defeat. Yea, if you will follow me in the beauty of holiness, you will never be brought to shame, saith the Lord. Yea, but thou shalt be mine, and thou shalt be a light that is shining in darkness. Yea, I'll light your torch for you, saith the Lord, and I shall send thee forth with a torch that is lit so brilliantly that it shall never be doused. Nay, until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of your Lord and of his Christ, thou shalt carry the torch of exuberance of the Lord, and many shall be saved. Many shall come to know the Lord, saith God, and thou shalt be my obedient servant, and I shall call you, I shall then promote you to call you no longer a servant, but a friend. And I shall then call you sons of God, and you shall know that I am your Father, and that you are in me, and that I am in you, and you shall know that we have become one, saith the Lord. And this is the ultimate of any man's calling, saith God. Hallelujah. Oh, God bless you. Let's stand together and give him a praise offering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Ah, well, dismissed. We will come back in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.